Welcome to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Jamal Fisher. Joining me this week as always is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody. I am kind of penciling this in a busy schedule because I have a lot going on, as some of you know.
Yeah.
Hey. So, just for reference, everybody, we are recording this literally like an hour after the Alabama-Michigan game, so we're going to definitely get into that. And we're going to have a very rapid-fire episode where we mostly talk about the upcoming playoff games, maybe the playoff generally a little bit.
Sure.
So, I guess, why don't we just get right into it? Why don't we talk about the Alabama-Michigan game? I'm going to give my thoughts, and I'm also going to give a season grade for Kalen DeBoer's first season.
Okay.
For one, I am so glad the Milt roller coaster is over. He can look like the most amazing prospect you've ever seen, but then throw four picks in a quarter and just lose you the game. Like, it's so frustrating watching him win. We don't need much out of a quarterback. Mm-hmm. We just need a quarterback that won't lose the game and will win 99% of the games we're in.
Right.
Like, it's so frustrating because the entire rest of the team played great. Our defense played lights out. They did exactly what they needed to do. Mm-hmm. Our receivers played great. They ran great routes. They were wide open all day, but the quarterback just couldn't get it to them.
Right.
Our running backs played great. Even our offensive line played great. They gave Miller plenty of time, but he can't read a pocket to save his own life. And it's just so frustrating to see this happen. But it is what it is. As far as the season grade for DeBoer, I'm going to give him a B.
Wow.
And the reason is we had the Georgia win. That's a fallback on. That's some nice little copium for me, for sure. Us as a fan base. Honestly, that Georgia win is doing a lot of heavy lifting for our spirits right now. And, you know, obviously we blew out LSU and Missouri, who are also ranked teams and have won their bowl games. Well, LSU's going to win
their
bowl
game.
Great games, including beating Georgia. It shows we have a lot to look forward to. It's a transition year. Once we can get, you know, kind of a better guy under center.
Sure.
It is what it is. It's a transition. Yeah, we have the most amount of talent in college football history or whatever, but like,
whatever.
Talent doesn't guarantee you wins.
Wow.
Like, we saw that with Texas for like two decades, right? Like, it's not the end all be all. You need it and it's super important, but it doesn't just mean you're guaranteed to win games.
Right. Randy, I'm kind of shocked. I missed most of this game. I was out for the first half pretty much, and I couldn't believe the score. So just real quick, for those who didn't watch like myself, what happened in that first quarter? Did he actually throw four interceptions?
It wasn't four interceptions, but it was four turnovers. I believe it was two interceptions, a fumble, and a turnover on downs.
Good grief.
And our defense held them to 16 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, for our defense to hold like they did, our defense played lights out. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's Michigan. They don't exactly have a dynamic passing attack. We kept the run game in check. We didn't. Then you did everything you can expect of a defense.
Sure,
like,
sure.
If your defense plays that way, you have no reason to lose a game.
I agree.
But It just kind of is what it is. I also give his first season a B because he's kept the recruiting up. He's clearly utilizing the portal in a way to try to, you know, he wanted to make a run this season, obviously. So he's trying to kind of play the best of both worlds to mm-hmm. get guys for his system in while retaining who we have and having this nice core group of players. And he's done a great job at that. Like, talent acquisition, perfect. And that was the biggest thing people were worried about. It's weird that the things we were least worried about are the things that kind of failed the most.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that, you know, we're most worried about are perfectly fine, like recruiting and talent acquisition and getting used to the South and all that.
So year two, though, I mean, what are the expectations? Like, I'm assuming year two will be playoffs or bust. Is that fair?
It's playoffs or bust. I mean, I'm not going to say we'd fire him if we didn't make it, but it's going to depend on the context in which we didn't make it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's absolutely playoffs for us. We're going to have a better quarterback situation. Our team's still going to be really good. Our young defense, who, you know, really stepped up a lot in these games when Milrow tried his best to lose us as many as he could, they really stepped up. And it's a young defense that's playing extremely well. Our offense is fine. We're going to return a lot of pieces, get some guys in the portal. There's no reason we shouldn't be able to make a good playoff run next year.
There you go. There you have it, folks. Randy, we're going to rapid fire this round. We got to discuss it. We have a playoff game tonight in 2.5 hours. I hope we can get the Jabodcast up before this happens. Can you believe, by the way, does it not, it doesn't feel like New Year's Eve today, does it? Is it just me?
It really doesn't. I mean, I had to work today, so.
That'll do it, yeah. I guess. It's just, I don't know, man. Everything's thrown off. But yes, we actually have a playoff game in 2.5 hours, less than that. Number 6 Penn State playing number 3 Boise State. Randy, I got to ask, is this what it's like when you know your team and your conference is just going to utterly thrash an inferior opponent?
I chances in here, man. They had, what, almost nearly 2 months to, you know, recover, kind of get themselves right. They've had a lot of time off to rest. Ashton Ginty, who a lot say should have won the Heisman. I don't agree with that, wow. But, you know. I mean, he's 1A, 1B type situation. Sure. Anyway, he's had a lot of time to rest because he was clearly tired and kind of banged up near the end of the season, mm-hmm. and they couldn't rely on him as much. But I think with a month off, you know, watch out for them. They're a good team. And they can match up physically, I believe.
Well, that's where I kind of disagree. I actually think that, I mean, Penn State, for what it's worth, they don't have a great offense, but their defense, specifically their line man, I think Penn State's one of the most physical teams in the country this year. And I think this is easily going to be Boise State's biggest challenge. And so, like, I'm positive that Ashton Ginty, you know, with fresh legs, is a dangerous threat. I think my concern for Boise State is I don't think he's going to get any openings. Like, I'd be really surprised if he has more than a handful of good, clean, you know, pockets to run through this entire game. I just think Penn State's going to be a brick wall on the defensive line.
I mean, even with that in mind, you have to remember Ashton Ginty, what is it? If he only count his yards after contact, he's still the number two in rushing yards or whatever, right? So they're going to stack the box. It is what it is.
Right.
It's just, can Boise have enough up their sleeve to take care of that? Maybe a couple trick plays here and there. Mm-hmm. The thing with Penn State, though, is I almost feel like that game they had last week is probably going to help them. Like, it's a good jumping off point to get their legs under them after a break. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. I think it's going to be interesting in general to see how the teams that had a bye face up with the teams that all four of them came off of big wins. You know what I mean? It's like all four of these teams that just blew out the competition.
It's going to carry over.
Exactly. It's going to be interesting to see here. And I don't know, man. I mean, I think Boise State could keep it close just because both of these teams play kind of boring-ish run games. You know, those can be close. But I don't know, man. Like, I know I'm biased, but I think Penn State runs away with this one. I'm thinking like a 31-17 at best score here.
But you have to admit, I mean, this is the Fiesta Bowl, if you remember. This is the same bowl game where Boise had the miracle versus
it's
Oklahoma,
true.
Right?
Don't need another miracle tonight.
I just think it would be such a cool moment to see a team like Boise win this game.
I agree. Make no mistake. You know, as biased as I am, like, I wouldn't be upset if Boise won because they are a feel-good team.
Because they are the true underdog of the playoffs. They're, Clemson's not the underdog of the playoffs. SMU's not even really the underdog of the playoffs.
Yeah,
they have
Boise.
So much money and talent available. It's Boise. They are the little engine that we should all be rooting for.
I agree. So we'll see, though. Should be a fun one. I think for what it's worth, this game, as well as the other games we're going to talk about soon, I'm hoping, man, are more exciting than the previous round of playoff games we saw, which were all blowouts. So
it's like we're almost just destined to see first round blowouts. I'm going to give a little bit of a note in my opinion on the playoff, because I feel like we should just expand it to 24 teams and copy the FBS format exactly.
Oh my god!
No, I'm serious, because we've seen this in action for multiple decades and know it works. Like, this is not uncharted territory. We know it works, and it's a perfect system for how college football is played, for how many teams are in FBS, for how many conferences there are. It's the perfect system to have that many. And I think part of it is it'll allow for, like, these 9-3 South Carolina teams who, like, have some really high quality wins. Even us, for example. I know
wow,
we just
have hey.
Michigan. I know we just cracked the bet against Michigan, but, like, we had some really high-powered wins. The Georgia game, LSU game, and Missouri game. That's 3 ranked opponents, 2 of which we completely destroyed in the most embarrassing fashion possible.
Oh, man.
You have this 9-3 team. You won't have to make the choice between the 9-3 teams with really high-quality wins, but we're very inconsistent, and the 11-1 Indiana team without a top 50, top 40 win or whatever. You can just have both of them in, and at that point, there's really no question as to who should be in.
I don't know, man. I think this is going to be a tough debate this year, because, you know, the 9, 10, 11, and 12 teams all got blown out, and now Bama, you know, hey, you guys just lost. So It's going to be tough. I mean, this is all going to change in the coming years, for sure. It's hard to say what it's going to look like, but this is probably the last couple of years we're ever going to have a situation where a team like Boise State gets the 3 seed. So I guess we'll just see how it goes.
I mean, I don't know. We're going to have to see how Boise does. I think the Boise game is going to very much determine future playoff like selections. And just like I think the Indiana game might.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I think
how they got destroyed by Notre Dame and the SMU game.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and I think the committee's looking at that and it's like, hmm.
And a game, the thing is, man, I think Boise does have a shot, right? The team I think we're going to look back on and say, what the hell were they doing here? Is, this is a good segue, Arizona State versus Texas. Folks, the little 12.
Yeah, we got to get rid of out of bed.
The little 12. What's going on, man? Like, what's the Big 12's record this year in bowl games? They're currently losing.
It's not as bad as the ACC. I know the ACC is like 1-9.
Yeah, poverty. But, I mean, Arizona State, like, let's be real. Like, this is going to be an embarrassment. Like, I'd be shocked, like, genuinely shocked if Arizona State kept this within 21. I think it's going to be that bloody.
Yeah, me too. It's just kind of what it is.
And so I think this is going to be the game that people are going to look at and say, we really shouldn't have these, you know, automatic bowl buys if you're the top four conference champions. Just get rid of it, because look at what happened to Arizona State last year, right? I think that's going to be one of the big narratives coming out of this year, because, dude, like, this is – God. I mean, Randy, here's the thing, man. You know my thoughts. You know my thoughts on the SEC. But this is going to be, like, this is going to be your Pro Bowl, dude. Like, have fun. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I know today sucks, but have fun tomorrow. And, like, I'm not going to be mad, dude. I think Arizona State should not be in. Like, this is an embarrassment, if I'm being real. So.
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, the thing about Arizona State is I'm trying to see who their biggest win is, because that's how I'm going to judge a team is who is their best win.
Sure.
I guess they beat BYU, who is 11-2, but,
Yeah. And they haven't played anyone. And they're not going to play anyone because this is the Big 12. You know, there's like no quality.
But that's
okay. Teams.
So this is going to go back to what I was saying about the 9-3 teams like Ole Miss, Alabama, South Carolina is people are going to say, well, look at who you lost to rather than look at the multiple teams that they beat. Because like there's a difference between being able to avoid losing to some top 50 or, you know, around 50, 60th ranked teams and proving multiple times, yeah, you're very inconsistent, but you actually do have the technical ability to beat Georgia, right?
Sure. The thing is, I mean, I can look past a team having maybe a soft strength of schedule if they're annihilating their opponents. You have to give Indiana at least
exactly.
This. They did destroy pretty much everyone, all the bad teams they faced. Arizona State, however, is barely surviving. Like, go check out their record. Go check out the games this year, man. I think they had like 6 or 7 games that were decided by one score. Like, when you're playing Kansas and Texas State and Cincinnati and Oklahoma, like, you should
gotta blow them out.
You should be destroying these teams, dude, if you're actually a top four team. Like, you know what I mean?
It's why Gonzaga and March Madness always gets the benefit of the doubt. Because, yeah, they play in a very weak conference, but they destroy everybody
exactly.
They play. You have no second thoughts as to whether they would be able to compete.
Exactly. So, honestly, shame on Arizona State. Shame on them. I think they're the biggest frauds of this entire tournament, which is saying a lot. So, congrats to Texas on the effortless win. Let's keep it going here. I know you're a busy guy here. Let's talk about, in my opinion, probably the most exciting game.
The classic Big Ten matchup. I see.
Here's the thing. The fact that this is at the Rose Bowl and it's effectively a Big Ten Pac-12 matchup, it feels right. You know, this feels
that's true.
Like nature intended. And I don't know, man. Like I'm excited for this because I feel like both these teams are so evenly matched. Because of that, I'm sure it's going to be a blowout. But, like, on paper, right, this should be a super close game. Who do you think wins it, Randy?
I'd have to give it to Oregon. I just think they're better. Mm-hmm. I know that's a rematch, and a lot of times on a rematch, the team that lost the original game very closely, you know, can kind of be benefited in a lot of ways.
Right.
But I just like Oregon more. Will Howard
had a big game last week.
He did have a good game last week, but I don't know how much of that is Tennessee just being fraudulent and really coasting off beating us when we were even more fraudulent.
Wow. Possibly. It's interesting. I mean, these two teams did play each other earlier in the year, Oregon did win 32-31, as close as it can get. I actually kind of think Ohio State wins this one. Just because I think Will Howard, they're finally kind of using him in a way that they should have used him all year long, which is just let him air it out, let those five-star receivers make plays, you know, and just try to out-talent Oregon. Ohio State can do that. And so I think if they stick to that kind of game plan, I think they can win this one. I'm not going to say easily, but I think they can win it without breaking too much of a sweat.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. It's going to be a very exciting matchup for that reason. Classic Big Ten game.
Classic. Cool. Yeah.
All right. I wish I had more analysis to give. It's just we really have to wait and see it. I don't think it's going to be much different than the first game, even though it was so much earlier in the year. I don't think it's going to be much different. It's going to be a close back and forth game.
Sure.
Where eventually it's going to come down to a quarterback being able to make a play on the last drive or second to last drive of the game.
Sure.
And I would trust Dylan Gabriel way more than I would trust Will Howard in that situation.
That's probably true. I think for the sake of everyone, I hope it's a close game. Because, again, that Texas game before, it's going to be ugly. Speaking of games that could get ugly, I'm really curious of this, Randy. Because, obviously, you know, you're the SEC guy here. Georgia and Notre Dame. With Carson Beck, the ugliest quarterback in college football history, out for the rest of the season, how do you think Georgia handles Notre Dame?
This is, I'm annoyed because Georgia's going to have their stupid storybook season with the backup winning a championship.
And, it's going to be annoying. It's their turn now.
It's their turn. You're right about that. It's their turn.
Just here's the
Even
thing,
though
dude,
they already won two championships.
I know. Here's the thing, dude, that makes me mad. Like, I feel like if Carson Beck hadn't gone down in the SEC championship game, I think Notre Dame could win this, to be honest. I think Carson Beck held Georgia back. But we saw what happened, dude. The second Carson Beck went down in that game, Georgia's offense came to life. Like, Carson Beck's a bad quarterback. He's a bad quarterback. He held them back. And whoever this backup guy is clearly better. So I'm annoyed.
His name is Gunnar Stockton, which is such a great name for a Georgia quarterback.
God.
You hate it.
I think what I, like, you can already envision, like, this kid throwing to, you know, some wide open Georgia receiver who runs it in for a touchdown. I just know Kirk Herbstreit's going to be like, who is this kid? He's going to say that at some point. Who is this kid? And I'm just going to, like, come on, dude. He's a five-star backup quarterback. He makes more money than, like, anyone who's listening to this podcast. Come on, man. I just can't.
I know what you mean, because their system is set up how I wish our system would be set up, to where it more favors, like, you don't have to be in some amazing gunslinger quarterback. Just make the right read. Take what you get and let the athletes do the work.
Game manager. Georgia's like, that's how they won their two natties a couple years ago, with Stetson freaking Bennett, who's the most game manager quarterback of all time. And it's just, I don't know, man. I feel bad for Notre Dame. I do, because I think this Notre Dame team is really, really good. And if Notre Dame had matched up with just about anyone else, I think they can make a serious run this year. But they're running into a brick wall of Georgia at this point, you know? It's a bummer.
No, I think it's going to be another close back and forth game. Maybe not that as back and forth as Ohio State Oregon, but it's going to be a very close physical game that I just think Georgia has more experience in these kinds of playoff scenarios. I mean, I know that sounds crazy to say. Notre Dame has definitely been in playoff games before and played okay, but they have, like, this weird thing. They simply cannot get over the hump in the postseason, and I don't know why.
It's true.
However, Georgia seems to have some type of plot armor.
I agree with the plot armor, but Marcus Freeman, I don't know, man. He's got the killer instincts.
Maybe he'll be the one to break the curse.
Maybe. Maybe it was really just a Brian Kelly problem all those years. Who knows? I think it should be close, even though I think Georgia wins. Georgia's only favored by one point, actually, according to Vegas, which is shocking. So, should be a good one, folks. Should be a good one. One final thing here, Randy, because I know you got to get going soon here in this Micro Gym podcast. I just wanted to share your thoughts on this. It's kind of funny, isn't it? We expanded the playoffs to 12 teams, and yet here we are, the final four teams, two Big Ten teams, two SEC teams, for the second year in a row. Your thoughts on this?
I'm completely unsurprised because I think college football is moving in a direction, and I think we need to embrace it, where it's no longer like a Power Five, Group of Five dynamic. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like how college basketball has, like, what is it? What do they call them? The high tier conference, mid tier, and then low tier.
Yeah, yeah. Mid major.
High major, mid major, low major.
Yeah, yeah.
ACC. We're kind of developing into that.
The ACC is a mid-major.
Into that, yeah. Where the high-major conferences are going to have, like, what, maybe 5-6 teams any given year that really won't have a chance to pull together and make a push. Mid-majors are going to have 1-2 maybe every year that could make a push. And then the low-majors are just happy to be there if they happen to make it.
That's what it's leaning towards, folks. Not going to say I like it, but it's happening.
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily an issue if we can set up a playoff system that can get attention to these low major conferences and mid major conferences and give them a shot while also not, you know, punishing people for playing a tougher schedule. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see a scenario in which a tough schedule is punished.
No.
That's my biggest thing. Or where people just blankly look at a win-loss column and don't look at the context of it. Because, like, playing 1985 Bears 14 times is obviously harder than playing, I don't know, Iowa State 2007
Lions. Yeah. I hear you, Randy. But I will say, my final closing thought here on this episode, we've had a fun bowl season so far. There's been a shocking amount of close games, I feel like. And for all things considered, man, it's cool to see teams take these bowl games really seriously still. You know, it's been really enjoyable as a neutral fan in all these games to have so many close, exciting games come down to the wire.
Me too. Okay, so I will say, I'm going to give a shout out to, it's going to sound weird to say, I am glad Colorado actually played in the game. Like, yeah, they got embarrassed, but I was actually happy to see them care about the game of football and want to play. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of proud of our team for the one thing, and that one thing being we had zero opt-outs. Like, True. They want to play the game of football, and yeah. I can highly respect that.
I agree. Any team, you know, that has players playing the whole game.
I know we have the whole issue of opt-outs of bowl season, but it does seem that the pendulum swinging back just a little bit. I don't know.
No, I definitely feel that way. You haven't heard about as many like star players opting out. The one exception really being, I think, Cam Ward sitting out the second half.
Oh, that was so embarrassing.
I don't know why he did that. Like, the second half, too. It's like, all or nothing, dude. Make up your mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, if he would have just played in the second half, even if he's like sandbagging it a bit, you know. Yeah,
just handing the ball off.
That's for PR purposes. There's just some things you don't do for the PR purposes of it.
I agree. You're not going to get injured, dude, in, like, a half of football. Like, I you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
Just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I want to like that guy. I mean, he was probably one of my favorite players this year. And now I'm just like, why'd you do it? Why'd you do it, Scam?
I wonder if NFL GMs are going to see that and be like, nah, he's a quitter.
Maybe.
Or if they'll even care.
Who knows if those NFL GMs see and a lot of these quarterback prospects. But
yeah, because we know Milrow's probably going to get one of them fired.
Are we thinking like the Giants, or where do we think Milrow goes?
Ooh.
Should be fine.
I mean, I don't even know what grade round he would get.
First round. Dude, he's like projected to be a first rounder.
There is no way he's projected to be a first rounder.
There's no way. They're saying top 10, my friend. So
there's absolutely no way.
He's a raw talent. He clearly is like super athletic, which, you know, teams like. So who knows, man?
I'm looking this up. NFL draft projections. Mock draft 2025.
I'm going to see him in February. Let me know. The NFL draft's coming to Green Bay, of course, folks, this spring. I'm really looking forward to that. What do you got, Randy? What have you
trying
got?
To look it up. I'm trying to look it up.
We do our research live.
You're right. What in the heck?
What'd I say? I called it.
To the Giants.
To the Giants, dude. Yeah. Welcome to New York. Him and Aaron Rodgers running the town. Should be fun.
So they're describing him as a high upside player.
Yep.
Very
there
true.
Is. There it is. Yep.
He's going to get a GM fired because he is the prototypical quarterback that every offensive, quote-unquote, offensive guru looks at and thinks, I can fix him.
But what if they can? What if they can?
If they can't, we saw it with Jalen Hurts, and he's also named Jalen.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, dude. Like, I didn't think Jalen Hurts would do well in the NFL, but now he's, you know, one of the best quarterbacks, frankly. So there's definitely upside, like they said, to having a really talented physical quarterback like him. It's just a matter of, can he learn to make good decisions?
God, decision making so bad. It was. I'm just so triggered at how many wide open receivers we're just not seeing.
Yeah.
To a point in our game where our own receivers were visibly frustrated.
I imagine, you know. Crazy. Well, Randy, I'll let you go. Folks, thank you for tuning in to this delayed last-second short gym podcast. I really hope everyone has a great New Year's Eve watching these bowl games, watching these playoffs. It's finally here. And God willing, Randy, let's hope these games are a little bit more competitive than last week's. What do you say?
Yes, hopefully.
Hopefully. Until then, folks, it has been a great year with the Gym Podcast. I wish you all a great end of 2024 and an excellent 2025. And until next time, folks, as always, Roll Tide!